Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show is brought to you by Dr. Yolanda Raglan and our great friends over at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Go to RuggedEVO.com for more details. StimulatingRoots.com, that's R-U-T-Z, StimulatingRoots.com is an amazing hair growth system. Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. superstar stylist Mr. Troy Ballard. The new book release, Prestige, all about professionalism and the barbering industry. And of course, all of us at Carapy, Hair Nation Expo, Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, our live hair events, and so much more.
This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout out to Carrie,
Chief of College of New Orleans, Louisiana. I just want to give a shout out to the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hyde and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right! So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carey Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapy Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very, very special guest with us is Mr. Will West. Now, he is the founder of the amazing ChairWatch app. It is my pleasure and honor. I believe it's your first time, Will, being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is my first time, hopefully not the last. And I am excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Well, good morning officially. Now, I have to say, first, let's just jump on in. Tell everyone, what exactly is the ChairWatch app all about?
Well, the ChairWatch app is, at its core, a mobile booking app. So if you're a stylist, if you're a nail tech, if you braid hair, if you do lashes, anything that you do in the beauty field that you have clients for, we are your mobile booking app. So that's at its core. But, of course, we have so much more. When you look into the app, it has so many features that will help build your business and build your brand. You know, you won't really want to go anywhere else after you download this app. So ChairWatch is just a great tool for the seasoned veteran or the brand new person launching out into the beauty world, perfecting their craft, and wanting to have their clients and the public be able to book their calendars and utilize their services. And we also have a place for products on our app. So it's just a great mobile booking app and software all around. And,
well, it's so much more than that, Will. I'm going to have you to really go in and tell these wonderful fans who are going to just love this. Let me just tell you officially. I just really started going in just yesterday again and refamiliarizing myself, and I'm just blown away. I absolutely love it, and I see all the beautiful designs, what you've done with it. It's extraordinary. It's not like any app I've seen, especially for the hair or folks who are into this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to book, to have folks, you know, their clients and customers booking for, you know, to make appointments with them and so forth. So I want to go back a little bit. Now, I love that you mentioned that you can put products. A lot of these folks listening right now, we have amazing hairstylists all over the country who, and the world for that much, who would love to register on the Chair app, so on ChairWatch app. So please tell us a little bit more. What kind of, so you can put your products there? How does that work?
So, yes, first of all, we are available. So if anybody wants to check it out or download it, we are available on Apple and Android platforms. So you can definitely download it at any time. So with your products, right, so when somebody is booking an appointment, a stylist, you know, has somebody who wants to get their hair braided or done or anything, oftentimes stylists have products that will also adjoin with that type of service. So maybe there's a nail polish that you should have or a sealer or a scalp oil. So now when a stylist is setting their app up and setting up that service for their client to book, we also have products right alongside that you can just add on. So now your client is looking at their style and they're seeing what they need to maintain that style or the health of their hair, scalp, or presentation of their nails, or it could be a foundation for makeup artists. They can have that. It's almost like a menu we've created. So they're getting their style and their product right there so they can book it. And when this, when their client shows up, they get their style done, and they also are able to pick up the products that they already purchased. And the beautiful thing about the ChairWatch app is these purchases are made at the time of booking. So when somebody books you through ChairWatch, you know that that's a solid booking. It's not like they're just booking your time. Your clients pay for it in advance or leave a deposit. So whenever you get a notification from ChairWatch, you're excited because you know that is a solid booking that's upcoming.
That is amazing. So essentially what happens, a person who goes on, they download the app, which again, I want to make it clear to everybody, it's the ChairWatch, like a chair you sit in, and kind of like a watch on your wrist, so the ChairWatch app. Before going...
Now, wait, you said something really cool right there. You said something really cool. Do you get that? Like, that's actually the ChairWatch. So everybody's watching your chair for availability and time to book. Like, that's how we kind of came up with the
chair. That was my question. You actually, we must have ESP this morning. That was really my question. Where did you come up with the name ChairWatch? So I get it now. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So the ChairWatch app, and you did say it's available for download pretty much where you get your apps from and for your cell phone. I just am blown away. What I love about it, like I said, is the thought that has gone into creating this. So where did the inspiration, though, come from? I got the name, but what inspired you to create this?
Well, I was looking to get my hair cut, and my barber has since become very famous. He owns like 2 shops, one in New York and one in Florida. So it's hard to get my hair cut whenever I actually want it. So I'd have to like schedule with him. But I could never really see his schedule and his availability unless I'm calling or texting. So he's either in travel or he's got somebody in the chair. So I was like, I really need to find out how I can see his availability. So I said, why is this not available? Like, why can't I check this out? So I decided at that point that I wanted to have something like this for the beauty world, for the entrepreneurs, for people that have clients. I saw it being so much broader than just for just for barbers. And then when I started really digging into the app and what I wanted it to be, I saw that there was so much more that entrepreneurs wanted just besides a calendar that somebody can book. Like, you have to let me know, Carrie, whenever you want me to get into these features. I have like 7 or 8 of them that are absolutely amazing and that hardly nobody has. So when we get to that point, it's going to be juicy.
I cannot wait. And I think this is absolutely awesome. Now, how can folks start to find out more? I guess the best thing you can do is download the app. It's free to download. So tell everybody again how to do that.
Download. It's definitely a free app to download, and I was going to say this for the end, but why not now? Not only is it a free app to download, but listen to this. We are changing this whole mobile booking game up right now. So there are no subscription fees for this app presently. So if you're able to get on now and download it, it's a free download and then no subscription fees. Everybody knows that there are subscription fees for all mobile booking apps presently.
Right.
At least 99% of them, right? So right now, if you get on, we're not going to have any subscription fees for, I would say, maybe, let's say we can do it for 2 to 3 months, and then when it starts to really flood in, we'll see what we do then. But right now is definitely the time you want to jump on.
So take advantage of it. Folks listening right now to this broadcast, Again, if you just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, my very special guest. Now, he is the founder of the Chair Watch app. And again, this is a mobile booking app, which is just extraordinary that he is explaining to us. And I'm just blown away where they can kind of, the clients can go on and book time with the stylist and look for a stylist and all that wonderful good stuff. And the professionals, the folks who are just interested in the hair and beauty industry will find this incredibly useful. So I'm just blown away, William West. Good job. Wow. So how has it been received? What have you heard from the folks out there?
Well, so far, everybody that we've had download the app really appreciates the detail that's within the app. When you open it up, you'll see how much care we put into what we want your clients to see when they see the app and see your services that are on display. So they love that. They love how simple it is to set up your store, because I've heard on some other apps, you know, it's really intricate, and, you know, the way you have to add certain services, you have to go on the web, you have to get on a computer. So we're an actual true app where you can do everything from your phone. You can upload and create your description, and it will be displayed immediately.
Wow.
Once you press save. So we've gotten nothing but great reviews so far, and anything that stylists want to suggest, we're actually taking that into consideration and constantly bringing out new and improved features that, you know, that stylists want.
Well, I tell you, I am so hyped and honored. First of all, and I look forward to the Hair Radio Morning Show being one of those that is easily accessible through the Chair Watch. So I can't wait to talk with you about that one, Mr. West.
Okay.
We'll be chatting about that very soon, because I think it's the perfect partner for what you're doing. And to be able to put that out there and give folks the option of using Carapy products as a, you know, if they wish to use Carapy, this is a great way to introduce these items in terms of to the folks. And I just think it's wonderful. And we're going to do everything we can to promote this amazing ChairWatch app. And again, it's downloadable where you get your apps from. We are so excited. And again, the part where you mentioned about not having the fees that are associated with it for a period of time, so you need to take and act now. You really do get this app ASAP. So this is really amazing. Now, Will, I have to just switch gears before we let you go. I wanted to ask you about this. Being a man of color out here in the world and being an entrepreneur, how does this? You know, do you realize that you're doing something that is just amazing and being kind of like a trailblazer, if you will, or, you know, kind of setting the pace for, you know, young kids to come up after you? Do you realize how important I think this is that you're doing and what you're doing?
Well, the answer to that directly is it was yes and no. Like, I'm a New York City firefighter and by trade, so that also is very, like, you know,
amazing. And thank you for your service. Let us say that from the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, coming from that background, you know, it was definitely something that's in me to just take the, you know, bull by the horns and go forward with whatever your dream is. And this also was a part of it. And going forward in this, You definitely feel it, you know. When I was creating the app and the business aspects and getting approved for to have a merchant, because we're aligned with one of the top merchants in the game. They're called Stripe, and they are the same merchant that is for Target, for Under Armour, for, you know, the top 500 in the world. Mm-hmm. So
for processing, they're wonderful.
Yeah, for processing. Yes, for your MasterCard, for your Amex, for Discovery. Like, that was huge for us, because it took us a while to get approved. You know, they want to find out who you are, where you are. And we felt it. Yeah. We definitely felt like there was a little more intricate deduction going on with us, but we had all of our ducks in a row. We had all our information. Everything was pristine. So we had to be approved, but it was just felt really good to put ourselves in a position where we can go, step forward strongly, being a, you know, young African-American male with a dream to get this thing out to the world, you know?
Well, you have done just that. It's the ChairWatch app. It's out now. You can go ahead and download it. The ChairWatch app, it's a mobile booking app, and it's just, and like I said, and like you've been saying this morning on the show, this is really quite extraordinary. It's not, you know, there are tons of free little things out there and things that are not quite as useful as you think. We like the idea, but we once we looked at certain things that were out there already, not quite so pleased. But I have to tell you, I went in, and I'm at that point now. I have to go in and set up, which I'm, after talking with you today, I'm, like, really inspired to go set up my little store here. And I just love the color. I love the design. I love it. It's really done very, very well. So you can be very proud of yourself. Let me just go ahead and put that on out there.
Can I give you, can I jump in and give you three features that you're going to absolutely love that I think your audience
please,
is going to be in love with?
Yes.
Okay. So here it is, right? I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. Okay,
right.
So number one is special requests. No app has this. So I imagine when you want to, you got to catch a plane, maybe it's the wedding season, anything that can arise, you need to see your beauty professional before their normal business hours or after their normal business hours.
Right.
Well, ChairWatch allows a stylist to actually create a special request appointment where their clients can get on the app, see the available hours, but if they do need them a little bit earlier than normal or a little bit later than normal, they can request a booking at that time. Now, we know that stylist time is money. So
right.
A stylist can allocate a certain amount of money
just
for an earlier than normal
wow.
appointment. Maybe it's 50, maybe it's 75.
Right.
So that's already built in. So once that client says, okay, I need you earlier, it'll say, okay, $50 for the early appointment and then whatever the service cost is. So stylists are loving that right there because we're monetizing their time and also allowing clients to be more flexible when they can book.
That's something
so that's
that needs to really be out there. We've got to make sure that folks know because that, to me, is a game changer.
Yes.
That's a game
yes.
changer. So we've
number
got to make
two,
sure folks are aware of that. Wow.
And so number two is the shareability. Every service that we have on our app is shareable. So you can just, for yourself, mind you, the stylist can share it, and the clients can share it. So imagine when you're getting your hair done or your nails done, and they're like, yo, your nails are fire. Where'd you get them done? The customer can actually go on your store, go to your service that you have, and share
it
directly to the friend. So the word of mouth now becomes actual booking information. So once they send it out, their friends that touch the link, it automatically brings them to their stylist store and starts the booking process. So that word of mouth now becomes monetized. So stylists really love that option that they can share. Imagine during prom season, you know, wedding season, and Valentine's Day season, everybody wants to know who did your hair, who did your nails, who did your braids. So now you can actually share it out, and those stylists will increase their bookings. So they do love that. And
amazing.
The last one
wow. yes.
that I'll give you is the appointment notes. Appointment notes. So
appointment
notes. You've been in the game for how long, Kerry? How long
about
you been
25
in?
25 years.
Have you ever had a person come to you and want something done, but when they get to you, it was kind of something different than what they said?
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that does happen.
So
what we have is something called appointment notes.
When
somebody books an appointment, they can add a picture and a text to the appointment so the stylist knows exactly what they want. So, you know, we're just trying to...
Hold
it.
So that sounds like the person can kind of give the stylist a heads up about what kind of style the client might be looking to have.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's exactly.
Amazing. And this can be all done through the ChairWatch app.
This and tons more. If we had an hour show, then I would go that long. But yes.
Well, what we're going to do, and I appreciate you, Will West, I really do, because what you'll have to do is come back and on a regular basis and roll out these features. We'll do nothing but roll out these features and
okay.
have some of your amazing customers to join us and
okay.
explain how they've been utilizing this amazing ChairWatch app. And so that's
like
really,
that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be just wonderful. And so for all of our listeners out there, please download the ChairWatch app. It's your way to monetize these interactions. It's a great setup. And again, it's a beautiful app. It's very unique. And you just explained several unique items, you know, that allows for you to really have something that's going to make money for you and work efficiently. So, Will, I've got to say, is there anything you want to leave us with today? Anything at all? We know the ChairWatch app is the app to download, but what else can you tell us today?
Well, I would just say in these times, you definitely want to be flexible in the way that you can accelerate your business and maintain your business and even grow. So that's at the core of why we're doing this, is to give the entrepreneur options. Just as much as working in a salon, we want to make the entrepreneur as strong as that and as flexible as that, and we have definitely accomplished that through the features that we've added onto ChairWatch. And I just want to thank you, Kerry, for opening this up to me, and we definitely have our history with your shows and extravaganza.
You.
So I'm just glad that we're able to go this far and still be here and able to enjoy, just the opportunity to be on this great morning show. I'm excited. Never thought I'd be doing a morning show, so this is pretty cool.
Oh, awesome. Well, we love having you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Also, many of our Hair Radio associates, they are already familiar with you, because you get to come out to our wonderful live hair expo event called Hair Nation down at the Soho Hotel, and we look forward to having you at the next one and each one after that, where you get to come in. And I have to say, well, I know just to let folks out there know how committed you are to what you're doing. I remember you did a wonderful presentation all about the ChairWatch app, educating these amazing young ladies who were in just school students, who were high school students, who were in cosmetology class, telling them all about this wonderful, wonderful new development of yours. And they were so amazing about it, and you did a great job with the presentation. So I just wanted to tip my hat to you and to continue what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Kerry. Thank you.
All right. So again, folks, download the ChairWatch app. Again, mobile booking application. It's really, really, really nice. And if you have any questions, of course, you can reach out. Well, is there any way they can reach you, or is that just download the app and go through there?
Oh, no. We have a beautiful IG page, at the ChairWatch app. At the ChairWatch app, all together. That's our Instagram, and you can reach out to us there, and you'll see information about what's going on new with us. And any questions, DM us. We are very responsive and love all interaction. So please check us out there, definitely.
And I can say at Hair Radio, because I'm going to invite you guys to listen out for a new commercial to air on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we're looking forward to that. So definitely, you'll be able to reach out to us as well, and we will definitely put you in touch with, in a heartbeat, with the amazing Will West, the founder of the ChairWatch app. So again, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. All right.
Thank you.
You got it. Folks, stay with us. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's 2 thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story. And we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm so excited about being here. I just, I am your fan. I think you're awesome. It's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, was ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago, and
years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but and then people want to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So that's what basically we're all about, is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little you know, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as we move forward. But but that's what it's evolved into, not just a network,
terrific,
but more than that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the
okay.
beginning. Now, share with our fans that they tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. No, I am actually, sometimes I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and Michelangelo. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluffs. I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, that's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, you know, I am, from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. They my inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was, you know, racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, we, you know, at that time, like you said, in the South, when I was growing up, you know, the civil rights era had started, and the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, you know, so and it was very, you know, that's, you know, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. She, my mother had a restaurant. So we had a restaurant business kind of in our family, and I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking. I was waiting tables, and I answered the phone, you know, to take orders, and I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10 up to 14, I was, learning how to be an entrepreneur. And it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship, because it really has helped me to – it has helped mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have, and I landed on my feet, you know, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs and you helping out because it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful, it just teaches you without having to have been taught. So to speak, it's almost like osmosis, you know, it just goes right on in there and it's there and you don't even realize it's there. And then, you know, as you start getting older, you're somehow, it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way. It's just I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it. Look at the legacy that you've been able to, you know, to continue.
Also my spiritual connection to God, and you know, my mother and father were very into the church, and you know, it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But mom and daddy, my mother was like a mother of a church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy,
oh,
Reverend James
yes.
Cleveland at a young age
wow.
because my mother, she put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was mm-hmm. amazing. I'm telling you, my father
wow.
was amazing. And they are both my, I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, you know, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you
oh,
guys
thank
out
you.
There. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, in a little later on in the interview today.
Oh, no, okay. We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know,
so you
I
guys,
know.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have,
mm-hmm.
and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to get into that a little bit. So, okay, so you grew up in Arkansas. And then your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, no, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York. And but my father was an adventurer, and
uh-huh.
and you know they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but
there's a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair
oh,
about it.
Oh, believe
me, there's a big difference between New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Yeah. Well, at the time, you know, I stuck out Arkansas. I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner-up Miss Teenage Black America for our
wow.
region. Yeah, my mother put me in pageants, and I ended up singing
wow.
a lot and you know, competitions and things like that. Like
wow.
I said, at that time in high school,
mm-hmm.
there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black. But
wow.
So I couldn't get in there, but as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything, but like that. But my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature, and so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff, and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship, so I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time. That same year, West Point became men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically. I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girls state,
wow.
so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking a music thing because my family's very
mm-hmm.
music-oriented and all that, and went there, landed the head of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going, taking a trip to New York, the theater
wow.
group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy.
Wow.
I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and The Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie,
that's
right?
I met
yeah.
yeah, she was filming it, and that's the same year I met her, and we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses, and so they worked at Motown and blah blah blah, and you know, so I wanted
wow.
to meet Diana Ross. She was my inspiration, and so I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip and fell in love with New York and did not know how I was going to meet Diana Ross, but I was here and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there with a friend of mine. And I made some calls.
Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio. And I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Diana Ross. And I did it. And I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends. And we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Diana Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the famous director.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course.
And I met the Michael had just left because he was the Scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet Michael Jackson, but I met the Tin Man. I think it was. Anyway, I met the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael was the Scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational. And she was
so. This
gracious.
Is when they were actually filming the Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah. So
now,
because they called
cool.
her Diane, and I'm Diane, and our both our middle names, and
wow.
It's just that for me that was like a highlight of my life. I said if I can go to New York City and meet Diana Ross, I need to go to
That's
New York.
It. Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now this is a full circle moment. It's just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is Hinton Battle, who played. I think he's won like 3 Tonys, maybe more awards for, and he played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He did.
With the role he originated, the Michael Jackson role was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey Hinton, I know Hinton. Hey Hinton, this Peggy called me. Call me.
he is fantastic. So yeah,
he really is.
I'm just blown away that was during that movie. Now, what Elsa was coming to be, it was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of, you know, a live program that they're going to be actually, you know, bringing back the Wiz, if you will, for the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
So it's the Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited.
Good.
For anyone to take on that. Now, so one of your big inspirations, so we know is that she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my God. I have many in oh, God, many people in different genres. Dr. King was an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at the Wall Street Summit.
Current hold it.
People.
We don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that you felt with these folks. Now, talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. You know, we are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio Show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just, and I feel that was his life, you know, starting with African Americans, and he and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in, and your faith in God, you know, despite anything. Despite anyone, he had his conversation with God, and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done, no matter if he knew that eventually his life, he had to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But, you know, the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith and me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart. This industry, whatever we're in, as you know, it is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. Stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith, because it's
absolutely
very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to The Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dotson. Now, she is behind the UBC-TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the Internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dotson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of The Hair Radio Show.
Yes, definitely.
So we want to get you guys, following our great interview today, absolutely this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Ms. Peggy Dotson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC-TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
It stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Udang Broadcasting. I have a lot of – and, you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. That's the name of the company, is Urban Broadcasting. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say urban does, but it's, for me, it's urban multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply, urban is city, and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay, so urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and that's how people categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. Lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's what UBC is all about. And it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's all us together. I guess you could say that.
I like that. So the U could stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. And, you know, you you have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network, it is very expensive, and it's not easy because once you get out there, you say, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay, I need advertisers. A lot of my colleagues who are out there now who are just jumped on the air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair. Just by having the stress of doing that.
I can speak to that one.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, you know, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel that where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out a whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you know, streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix. Everyone's jumping into that world, which for me it's there's still a major cost because you can't just go out and just do it anyway. You still have to have that broadcast quality to that in order to bring on the advertisers or the sponsors that you want to bring on.
Exactly.
What we're doing is the original productions that we will be either live streaming or streaming will be edited, and then from there we back into cable. So we will have some things will just be totally online, and then some things will be shot for cable TV, which we are rolling out this year, this spring, actually. I mean, the date is close, so I've got to, like, but we will actually be in about 40 million households, and we'll have channels, we'll have channel positions soon, so I know people want to know that, and I'll be making that announcement. We will be able to be on Time Warner, Comcast, and Dish Network, and DirecTV.
And you'll let us know, you'll come back and tell all the folks at the radio show?
Yes,
okay,
most definitely.
Okay, so we can get an exclusive, guys. You've heard it right here. We're going to hold Peggy to that now.
Okay, that's okay. I would definitely do that. It would be real. It's going to be soon, sooner than later. It's going to be soon, but what we're planning on doing, and I'm very, very excited about the lineup that we have. The lineup for the live streaming, of course, is different than the cable. Some of them will overlap. For instance, we have a show called the UBC Mix, which is, I guess you could say, it's almost an evolution of Soul Train. I love, and it's a show I created. A lot of the shows I created, by the way, and over years and years of research, and years of research and marketing and all that, and TV production and what I've done with NCAA sports, and that's my background is from live TV. So I love live television, but I love dance. I dance a lot. I love house music. I love all types of music. But
Peggy, I have to say, I'm not interrupting you at all. I just want you to absolutely let the folks know, and I want to tell everybody out there, they're listening to you and you're giving them this wonderful information. I just want to remind the folks, you're listening to Miss Peggy Dotson, who was our special guest today on the Hair Radio Show, and she's been telling us all about UBC TV Network. Now, I just want to tell all of our Hair Radio Show fans, if you want to find out more about Peggy Dotson, you want to go to her pages and find out how to reach her and find out more about UBC TV Network, we're posting everything at the hairradio.com website. So that's www.hairradio.com. And there you'll see, we're going to hopefully, Peggy will put up some more pictures and all of this wonderful, these wonderful things that Peggy's providing just exclusively for our Hair Radio Show fans today. So we are so excited, and we're going to give them all the information. Now, Peggy,
great.
I have to ask you, yes, now, we got a little bit into it, but I really want to drive this point home, and I know that you can do it eloquently. Broadcast television seems to be going through a metamorphosis. It seems to be changing in a way. It doesn't look like it used to look. There's a whole lot of you know, flack about it not being more representative of the folks when we go outside our door. So, so individuals are saying that, well, gee, you know what? We don't control broadcasting, and when I say we, I shouldn't speak for folks, but I think what the message is that they feel that the people of color and the people who are representative of the world, the broadcasting doesn't really speak to those folks by and large. However, the Internet, the new technology, seems to be controlled, so to speak, at this time by the masses. So is there some, you know, big, you know, disconnect between broadcast and Internet or technology and streaming and all of that? Is broadcasting changing?
Yeah, it's changing because it has to somewhat. The big disconnect, I mean, that's one of the reasons why YouTube is so big, because you have more control over what you want to see versus what someone else thinks you want to see. And the big problem with broadcast is that it's big.
You don't have any control.
It's
turning,
you know,
your channel.
Well, it's big, so you have large organizations that have different departments that don't even talk to each other. You know, so they don't, and you have people who have major pressure on them to create programs because you have accounting people saying, this is not making any money. You know, it's not really set up. You have big public companies who are dividend-driven, and they're not content-driven. They're, you know, sports. People understand sports. That's an easy one. The multi-billion-dollar business, sometimes like Fox, that's what anchors, is one of their big anchors. And then you have American Idol. And then you have a formula. The problem with broadcast and cable, too, is the formula that's used in calculating what they think people want to see and what individuals go in front of the camera. You have a formula, or you have a formula for a story that is beginning, middle, end, and that is very predictable, but that's what people want because they feel that's what makes money. And then you have a formula for people that you have, maybe if you may have three white people, you may have one black person, you may, it's gotten worse. I don't know. I don't like formulas. I don't even deal with a formula. We're out of the box. My goal is to be able to represent life the way that it is and not contrive it. Even with the reality shows, they're not reality. They're contrived. They're combative. And a lot of the producers do that because they feel they have to create, you know, anger and animosity in order for that, in order for people to watch, and then advertisers sign on. And a part of that is true, but it's not all true. And we're not represented at all. And, you know, and the time when we are represented, it's so contrived and controlled and stereotypical. And, I mean, there are some shows that I'm not going to say right now. It's just people
right.
I mean, it's just like, okay, this is a black show, even with major producers that we know that do film, that when they get to television, they get into the formula. And they put this and that. Let's put this. Let's put some salt and pepper and some pasta and then this and this. And that's the recipe. And that's and if you don't do that recipe, you don't get on the air. So that's the problem. There is a big disconnect, and it has to do with culture. It has to do with disconnect with color. It has to do with people who are in positions who feel they think they know who we are and they don't, who don't know the story. But in essence, they know, all they know is that we have the buying power, $1.1 trillion, and they want our eyeballs. They need the eyeballs in order to bring on Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and KFC and McDonald's. I mean, those companies know about our buying power. But
I love that. The word power, that's where all of this and what it all means. And I think that, and I think you have completely and eloquently stated what I believe is the disconnect. So going forward, we have the folks like yourself, UBC TV Network, Urban Lifestyle Programming, and you're based out of, you're based where? I just want to make sure we hit all of that.
Yeah, I'm in New York. I'm in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah. And you know, in Harlem, which is the urban capital of the world. You know, it's New York City, and we have a new base that we're building in Las Vegas, and I'll talk about that at some point. Yeah, we're going
terrific.
To be doing some really exciting things there with another division of the company. Yeah, we're based here, but we're a global company. We're looking right now. We have some productions that we're working on, a major reality show with a major celebrity that I can't announce it yet. Yes,
okay,
a major
but you
celebrity
promised to come back
that we,
here and
yes,
tell the fans
we have a major
of the radio show.
Yeah,
okay.
A major celebrity that we're doing a deal with that we are going to. We're doing a reality show with them. We're going to be following them around, not just here, but we're going overseas. And so that is, you know, that's kind of like what, and some of the programs, the teasers and stuff will be available online. And the rest of it will be on cable. And that's what I like. I like going between, I like the model that I've created because it gives me the flexibility to do things
right.
online.
Right, you're not just doing one thing only.
Right, I'm not just stuck to cable, and I'm not just stuck, you know, on one just online. It gives me the flexibility to go back and forth with a show, actually. You can take
mm-hmm.
part of the show, you can put it online, take another part of it, you put on cable. That way you go back and forth and you hit different audiences by that way. And we are a producing network, which is very important. I wanted to say that, even though we are doing partnerships with other producers and production companies.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a showrunner, and I've created my own originals, and I have a great production manager, Academy Award nominated production manager. He's done everything.
Wow.
Worked with Billy Joel. He knows music, he knows sports, and he's just awesome. So it gives
wow.
us the ability to be a producing network so that we can actually produce our own originals. We can create the originals, we can produce them and distribute them. And we bring in our own advertising and sponsors and things like that. And I have an agency that I'm also dealing with. But it gives flexibility for creativity,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I wanted because I'm a creative person. I don't want to be in a box
yes.
where, oh, I'm just a cable network, so I just got to do this. And I love my cable
right.
people, or I'm just online, so I just can't do this. No, I love my technology people, so I want both. I want
wow.
both. So it gives us the opportunity to not only create wonderful kind of like reality shows, music events, things of that nature that we have some, oh God, we have some exciting things planned. I tell you, we are
getting ready
to step out.
You guys are
into
just
the spotlight.
Moving along. Now,
yes.
I do want to ask you, Peggy, being a successful person out there in business, what words could you say to someone who's trying to follow in the great footsteps that you have trailblazed in terms of broadcasting and setting up your own network and working just all over the country with folks? What words can you say that just might be that great little inspiration that someone needs about now?
Well, there's a couple things. My inspirational words is never give up. My Jewish
mm.
godfather, who's passed away, Burl Walk, always told me, he says, Peggy, never, ever, ever give up. That
mm.
is my anthem. The other thing is learn as much as possible about the industry that you're in. Study it. Go to trade shows. Find mentors in the industry, which is what I've done. I studied this industry. I met people in the industry, just like I did when I was in the music industry. You know, I went to Luther Vandross, and I said, Luther, tell me about the industry. This is actually what I did when I moved to New York, and I wanted to
wow.
to find out about the recording industry, which is a totally different industry just being a singer.
Right.
I mean, people think, I'm a singer, I'm not digressing, I'm a singer, I want to be a great singer. No, if you want to be a professional singer, that means you are in the business of entertainment, so you need to know about that business. And I just went to every person I could to talk to and had them tell me about the industry, and that's how you learn. And then you get mentors in that industry that are, you know, great people who have high positions. One of my mentors, he's retired now from Fox, is Roland McFarlane, who is the only African-American executive at a high level at Fox in Los Angeles at Fox TV and Fox Studios. And he adopted me, I adopted him. And I would always ask him questions and ask him, do you think this idea could work? He said, Peggy, go for it. It's going to work because it's needed. So I always have mentors, even to this day, that I go to and to listen to and talk about things. And I see mentors and just research and just never giving up on your dream, but also just being flexible because what you see now may be a little different than what it really ends up being. I've had to be flexible in my vision with UBC. Like I said, I wanted a network, and now it's UBC. TV network, but it's really just one component of it. We have media, and we have a couple other. We have film. We can talk about the film division. I have a couple other divisions, and we have sports. We have some other things that have branched off, and we're also going to be building studio facilities. So,
wow,
you know, it's
a lot.
It's turned into a lot. Yes, I do, and we need to talk about the shopping. You know, don't let me forget about that.
That's something
I really want to discuss.
Yes, well, we definitely will. And folks, if you've just joined us, this is a very, very special interview today, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a person who is just doing extraordinary things in the way of business and community. The Hair Radio Show is very, very proud to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Peggy, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, listen, we've been talking a lot about some of the wonderful business enterprises that you're involved with. And when we talk of UBC TV network and some of the wonderful programming that we can soon expect, we have to get into the shopping aspect that is about to kick off here on this UBC TV network. So tell our fans out there, tell the show fans about this wonderful idea.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I think I'm just totally crazy, but that's all right because my Jewish godfather said you got to be a little crazy to do this. But the one thing that I see things that are needed, and I try to move to create a solution for that, and that's one of the reasons why UBC has been gestating over the past couple of years, really gestating and getting ready to and slowly rolling out. And people say, "When are you rolling out?" Okay, just wait. I got something I'm working on here. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, was to create a shopping component to my network because I wanted to create something whereas I'm not like the other networks where I have to really depend on all the advertisers and sponsors. I want to be able to groom my shows, but I wanted to create an additional revenue streams. And that will keep the company going. And so I've actually created Urban Home Shopping Network. It is a part of – it's going to start out as a show, and then we're going to actually evolve to a separate thing. But it is for – it is an urban QVC. It's for small businesses, women-owned businesses, and people of color who want to gain entry into the home shopping network arena and cannot. I mean, as you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC they're starting to cater to smaller businesses because small business is the backbone of this country.
Exactly.
It is the backbone of this country, and people need to really understand that. And I want to do my part to help the economy, and in order to do that, and to give opportunities to small businesses who actually want to get their products out on television or distributed globally.
Well,
so
let me just tell you, Peggy Dotson, this is such an extraordinary business that you have launched. So I'm going to just take a quick moment to inform those folks out there, you guys listening right now, that you can go to hairradio.com, and we'll put all of Peggy's contact information there so that we know that you're going to be very much interested in being part of this wonderful, these upcoming projects and some of the things that she's working on now. So you just go to hairradio.com, our website, and we have a profile there with Peggy's information and all about how you can contact her to get involved. Peggy, I have to say to you, any final thoughts? You've been such a terrific guest with us on the Hair Radio Show today.
Wow. Well, you know, my final thoughts is I appreciate you have taken the, you know, giving me the time to come on here and inviting me. And I know that we could talk for hours because there's so much going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, my final thoughts is, you know, about UBC, go like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We have, if you have any questions about new shows that we have, you know, you're free to contact us as an email address, or we are looking for, you know, new shows. I am looking for, for content. And, you know, if you want to join us or whatever, just, you know, like us. And we have to, all I can say is that we have some very exciting things happening and getting ready to happen. We are going to make a major impact in the marketplace.
Yes, you already are. Now, I have to say, Peggy, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say that we have a I'm making my step into the film world. We have a major announcement that we'll make later on, but I have a division called UBC Films. And I have been able to acquire major distribution in, you know, through Cinemark, AMC, and Regal Theaters to distribute urban films. And so that's that cannot take on anything else. But, you know, it's like it's something that has to be done because we need more. As you know, right now people are very upset about Selma and the lack of the lack of diversity, and you know that there has to be more diversity, and I think that's happening. Like I said, Reverend Jackson is making a lot of moves in technology, and to help do that. And but you know, there's only besides my company, there's only one, really, co-black. There's only, you know, there's very few black-owned companies that distribute films. So we are throwing our hat into the ring, and so we will be doing that. And I have some. That's another division that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks in reference to UBC Films and our, you know, entry into that marketplace of film production also, film production and distribution and funding. Well, I actually have a separate funding arm that films urban films. We're looking for films 3 to 5 million, up to 20 million. We have funding for you know, anything less, we have to talk about as far as development projects. But we do have, I have a funding arm for that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we are very excited. I mean, you have so many wonderful, wonderful projects going on. And we're just excited for you. And, you know, so we want to let the folks know that this is going to continue. Go to the hairradio.com website. Peggy is also going to put some special words there for you guys and read all about her and see some of those extraordinary pictures. And we're going to have you back very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Peggy again, Peggy Dotson of UBC TV Network. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on today's Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's Kathy from the South Jersey area, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning. Thursday morning, April 1st of 2021, and I'm so excited to have you guys with us as we embark upon so many great things, and we have such a big show. Really, it's super exciting today, and as we talk about marching towards our 550th show, we're going to get into all of that very, very soon. I want to bring to the line two individuals who've really kind of made their mark on our broadcast, and we're so excited to welcome one of the gentlemen. Now, this one of the two is a gentleman named Will. Now, he is really, and we call him Harlem Will, just doing some big bang up things out there. We're happy to have him on our show. He's a radio host in his own right. Good morning, Will. Good morning, Harlem Will, I should say, from Manhattan. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Harlem Will Powers is in the building with the Hair Radio Show. Thank you for having me.
All right. Awesome to have you aboard. And coming to us out of Georgia, outside of the Atlanta area, I should say, but I believe it's a little bit closer than, but we're going to have her to tell us all about it. Miss Terry, a hairstylist, very well known in her own right, and you guys are making her even more known here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, Miss Terry. Again, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
And Miss Terry, now I've been saying outside of the Atlanta area, but where exactly are you down in Georgia?
I am in a little place called Decatur, Georgia, right on just the outer edge of Atlanta. So it takes me probably about not even 10 minutes to get to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. And we can hear that in Atlanta.
Most people would say Atlanta.
Oh, okay. They just say Atlanta. Okay.
Yes.
I kind of understand that. And we have to remember that we have listeners literally all over the world. So I always have to remind guests that, you know, when we are on the show, because some folks will come on and say, oh, I live in, you know, East Orange. And folks, you know, sitting in Virginia somewhere, like, scratching it, East Orange, what is that? So I always remind everybody to give the city and state and, you know, we always, if you notice on our interviews and all of that wonderful good stuff, we always like to establish where folks are, almost kind of like do a roll call, you know, like at school days or what have you. It just helps for us to kind of, you know, sometimes you can kind of figure out how folks come to their thinking, because sometimes it's kind of regional. It's a regional thing that may happen in the Northeast, but when I, you know, talk to Miss Terry down in Georgia, they may not do it, or, you know, you can kind of see where there might be a difference or what have you. Same thing out in California. They may have something totally different. When I'm talking to, you know, Troy Ballard from, you know, Smooth Black Ink, he's all the way out in Southern California. And they may do things and certain things a little differently than we do here. So all that wonderful good stuff. Well, listen, it is the morning, Thursday morning, and I was just curious. I have to ask you, kind of starting with this, Will, is there still a thing called Throwback Thursdays, TBT? Am I the last one still doing Throwback Thursdays, Harlem Will? What do you say?
Probably.
I mean,
I see it a couple of times.
You're a millennial, so we're asking you. No. Okay, because when the kids move on to new little slangs and stuff, I'm still usually stuck behind. You know how the folks, you know, 2 years later, they have moved on and we're still saying, you know, these old, cool, old slangs, sayings that they're like, well, gee. You know, so the TBT, I'm still using TBT hashtags and playing Throwback Thursday music and all that kind of stuff. I'm always a little bit behind. Well, listen,
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, you can still continue it. It's just I don't think a lot of people are doing it anymore because, like you just said, things move really fast. So we're on to the next thing. Now we're on TikTok, and I haven't seen any Throwback Thursdays for TikTok or any of the, you know, or on any of the other social media sites. So, no, I mean, but I think it's still a cool thing to do. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying Throwback Thursdays or, and, you know, having to post something. It can still be a thing.
Well, I'm going to have Miss Terry now. Miss Terry now, I'm putting you in my category. We're gonna bring it back. How's that? We're going to bring it. You know how the styles come out or go away and they come right on back in?
Right,
that kind of idea. Well, listen, there is so much to get to on today's broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I want to remind everybody about Friday. Friday is a big show, guys. We have a very, very special broadcast tomorrow morning. That is Friday, April 2nd. of 2021. It's our 550 show. So it's our 550th live 3-hour broadcast. We're celebrating the entire show. So we're going to have lots of memories. We're going to have some surprise guests. We're going to have some new music on the show and some wonderful dedications. I think I have a memory or two about it coming up in just a bit. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. You know, the Hair Radio Show is really an institution in the hair industry. Whether you guys, I think you're starting to realize it's truly an institution. It was created 26 years ago, and we're real proud of that. This version of the Hair Radio Morning Show was created in 2015. So we've been broadcasting since about, the 5th of January of 2015. So I'm real, real happy about that. And we've been averaging about 100 shows a year. So really, really good stuff. And, you know, doing some great things. And I'm really, really pleased about it. Lots to talk about, so I'm not going to give it all away now. But I do want to kind of turn to one sad story this morning. And, you know, I have to tell you, I always hate to report these stories where it's an industry personality who is no longer with us. And this, I have to say, is really, this one, when I can, and I found none of this. And Miss Terry, you're a hairstylist, you're in the hair business. Will, you're always on social media, Harlem Will. I'm always out there on social media, but I saw absolutely nothing. And then certainly, you know, I have thousands and thousands of followers, and thank you guys for following me in my different little tranches. But the part that I, this was really surprising, and I had not seen anything until we broke the story for the hair community about Nicole Jones, who has passed away. She's an Emmy-nominated hairstylist, and she was only 45. We were kind of off air talking about, you know, being youthful and age-wise and all that wonderful good stuff. And look at this, she was just barely 45 years old. And I had not really known of her, and I watched the shows that she worked on quite a bit. She was the lead stylist on Young Sheldon, the CBS hit show, as well as HBO's Big Little Lies. And thank you for that earlier. Yes, on Big Little Lies, she was the stylist. And again, she was just 45 years old. She died from cancer and a little earlier, but her family did kind of just let us know about it. And really sad. And we wish her family and all of them a little bit of ease during this time of grief and all of that. And she's had a really big TV career. And you can read her story. It's on my page on Facebook, on my Carrie Hines page. And you can Google her. Very interesting lady, and real sad about her passing. You know, so thank you. And I just have to say, I had an opportunity, guys, to work with hairstylists who work with the artists on TV. I represented a couple of hairstylists who work with famous artists, one of whom, there used to be a show many years, guys, called, it was a BET show called, it was a video clip show, and it starred two folks. I want to say 106 and Park, and that was the name of the show, I'm pretty sure. And it had two hosts, one of whom was a wonderful young lady named Free, who was this amazing hip-hop kind of like lady.
Yes.
Now, she was out of Boston, and a whole big thing, you know, she was, I think it's public knowledge. I'm going to put it out there. If it wasn't, don't sue me, Miss Free. But there was a whole thing long before Beyonce. She was involved with Jay-Z and all this kind of stuff. Now, I represented Free Stylist at the time when she was like a good portion. They were best friends. So at the time when she was on the show. So I got to go to BET events and stuff like that and, you know, meet a lot of the people behind the scenes. So, and I loved representing the hairstylist at that time because these people, I mean, they were very well paid for working in television. Television is a huge paying medium. So really good job. It's a really, really good job to get. And who else? And also I represented another hairstylist who worked with the guy from Empire. This was long before he was on Empire. Terrence, I can't think of his last name. Don't kill me, guys. You guys know.
Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, yes. I could not think of his last name. But, yes, he was the hairstylist for Terrence Howard. And I used to represent, even though I was New York-based, I was East Coast-based, my clients who were hairstylists were West Coast-based. And but the young lady from BET, they were both from Boston originally. So with a long history. So we've got a big career in this business. And it just reminds me even, I never really talked about my other link to Cosby, so to speak, because the young lady who played as Bill Cosby's daughter, I think I may have mentioned it once or twice here on the show a while ago, but yes, she played Bill Cosby's daughter. She was also on In Living Color, Takiyah Crystal Kima. And I had the opportunity to interview her a couple of times. She played Bill Cosby's daughter on the CBS version of his show following the popular NBC Cosby show. So lots of wonderful things. And the reason I bring up even Takiyah is because she was one of the first ever I saw on In Living Color with natural hair. I had not seen anybody. Mm-hmm. This was before Whoopi. Okay. This was before Whoopi.
Yeah.
There was Takiyah. Yeah, Takiyah. But her hair wasn't locked. Yeah, she would just, you know, twist. She would do natural styles. But she didn't lock her hair. And she had often, when I interviewed her, and she has a book out. It's on the internet. There's an old book out there. But, and I I was working with a magazine, and that's why I had interviewed her, as well as for my hair radio show, which I was still doing the hair radio show even then. It's been a long time, folks. But real interesting stuff that's out there. But just to go back to the original point, these folks who are in television, like I said, you know, very sorry about the passing of Ms. Nicole from, you know, young Sheldon, Nicole Jones, and Big Little Lies from HBO show and all that other wonderful stuff she's done. She's long history in this business, a hairstylist. She was just 45. So I'll tell you what, why don't we take a little bit of give us a little break here. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Harlan Will. We want to find out about some of these wonderful news stories that you've been Googling this morning, right, Miss Terry? We want to hear about We want to hear about it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, folks, just real quickly, we want to thank our amazing sponsors who really help us each day to get this program on the air. You guys have heard of FixYourFeet.com. You know that Dr. Ragland is an amazing podiatrist with two locations, one in Maryland, one here in New York City. We're real happy. She's an amazing, amazing, amazing podiatrist, and we love her on the show. She comes in and really makes a big splash here and gives us real good updates. I can't wait to have you guys on with her in the coming weeks or what have you. We'll get her back on the show. Always got a book way ahead with Dr. Ragland. She's a very busy lady. Also want to say hi and thank you. Just like we were shouting out Smooth Black this morning out in California, big contributor to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're real happy. He does a lot of things and helps us along the way. I get to work with these folks behind the scenes. Folks wonder how did I amass my education and things. Well, it's because of these folks who are legendary hair and beauty people out there. Also want to take a moment, who else? We've got Rugged Evolution, who, you know, I've got my products for the beard. But I have to say, I consider us to be twin companies. They are wonderful partners. Arrington has been just a wonderful contributor to this broadcast and just loves us. And I have had a good impact on folks, so I'm real, real happy about that. And I'm very grateful, and they like what we're doing out there. We're shouting out Rugged Evolution Beard Care. These are really great folks, and they consider us to really be on point with what we're doing, and likewise. And also want to just say to Prestige, the book, you guys heard the new commercial. We love them. Jarrell Glass has written an ultimate book on professionalism in the barbering industry. But you don't have to be a professional barber. You can just, want to learn some inner workings and behind the scenes. He's got the greatest stories for you and how you can accomplish that. So, again, just want to shout out to a couple of folks who help us to kind of get this air, and it's not difficult to do. So we'll go ahead. And speaking of breaks, we're going to play some of those commercials, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Ragland is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted
Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
My name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing, my heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah! I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curl it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel, because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old, and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed, and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign, and backstage, they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist, and this guy didn't know how to do braids, and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it, and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage, and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this is the same, but this has more red in it, and this is just gray, so it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this, and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless.
like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless. In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they just like, oh my God, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives, and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together, because it's the only way we can make it further.
Hello, everybody. Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, my target audience is going to be 50 plus. I am a woman of 50 plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50 plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50 plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me. And I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50 plus. And all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives. And I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
Well, all right, Ms. Valerie. We're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Thursday morning. Thursday morning, April 1st of 2021. And yes, and we've been kind of running a little bit of Miss Valerie's shout outs this morning. She's going to be with us again soon on this show. And her whole platform is, of course, reaching folks who are 50 plus. A lot of age talk on the broadcast this morning. Let me bring in my wonderful panel folks. Which we're real happy to do. From Harlem, we've got Will. Harlem Will, that's right here in Manhattan. That's a part of New York City, joining us on the air. You guys know I'm in another part of Brooklyn. I'm in another part of the boroughs. I'm in the Brooklyn borough out here in New York as well. But Will is my fellow New Yorker. Good morning, Will.
Good morning. Good morning, Brooklyn.
All right, yes. Good morning, Harlem. Harlem Will. And all of our listeners around the country. And also joining us on the line, of course, we've got Miss Terry coming to us out of the Atlanta area. So again, good morning. So you guys have been hearing some of the things we've been playing this morning. Does anything resonate with you this morning, Miss Terry? What about you? We'll start with you that you've heard on the air.
A whole lot.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Now, that's a surprise.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. What can you share with us this morning?
Just listening at the piece about the models, the different makeup, you know, the issues with the foundations, the different, you know, people not being able to do their hair. And, mm-hmm. you know, I sit here and you wonder, how do they get this job if they're not, you know, well-versed in doing different hair types, you know, working with different skin colors. And it just made me feel
like... You're talking
like
about the hairstylist. How did the hairstylist get the job in the industry, these industry
get the
jobs?
Absolutely. And you just, it just made me feel like there's still a whole lot of education and etiquette, because there's different things that these people were saying to these women. There was one lady who referenced and said that someone asked her, could they lick her skin because she looked like chocolate? Inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
All day, I don't care how you put it, that's inappropriate. So
yeah.
There's definitely a lot of education that needs to go on. And just let me know that there's lots of education that needs to take place in the industry as far as, you know, race relations and also just education on, you know, the different hair types, different foundations, colors, things like that. A lot of education needs to happen.
And definitely. And I want to say in the 8 o'clock hour, speaking of which, Ms. Terry, glad to hear that, we're going to talk a little bit more at length with you on some of these hair topics. So we want to find out what's in style, what are some of the things that people can do. We're gonna really kind of delve into it, and particularly if you want to get into natural and, you know, whatever as part of the spectrum you want to kind of delve into, we're going to visit this morning for the first time with Ms. Terry on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So you want to stay tuned for that. That's coming up in the next hour. Harlem Will, what do you say? Did you catch any of those things that we kind of ran with the piece that Ms. Terry was just talking about? And some of the other items that we've been kind of chatting about this morning, and then we're going to get into some of these news items that you have been Googling.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of them was, okay, so it had a lot to do with the colorism that the models were speaking on, which is just unfortunate, but that's the nature of the business right now. Until we can get some game changers in there, hopefully some gatekeepers will get it, you know, be able to get in there and change the game and the makeup of the and the ideology of the modeling world. But it looks like we're still a ways away because it's still European centric and controlled by European thing, European ideas of beauty. So we're still ways away from in that world. So they're going to encounter this, unfortunately. It doesn't mean it's acceptable, but it's out there, right? It's just like getting hit by a car. Unfortunately, that is the aspect that you're probably going to run into. And now they have to, a lot of these new beautiful dark skin models, they have to be prepared to go in there and be prepared to face that. So that's still a challenge in itself. But I even like the one of the podcasts. I forgot the woman's name, but she talked about how she wanted to target the demographic of 50-year-olds when she did her show.
Yeah, Valerie. We're talking about Valerie from New Jersey.
And,
yes.
Right, reinventing themselves at 50 years old. And I thought that was interesting because, yeah, there are some – I keep thinking about – when she said that, I immediately thought about how beautiful Angela Bassett is. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of beautiful women above the age of 50. And the old adage used to be, you know, like after 50 is kind of downhill for everybody, you kind of got to settle in your ways. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem to be the case out there right now. So I applaud her show, and I would look forward to listening to that. There's a bunch of things
yes.
you can still do after the age of 50. Like, you're not dead, you're just 50. Congratulations.
Well,
you're half the century.
Well, I think I better help clean that up for you.
Please.
Let me just look. Your heart is in the right place. You're saying good things, but we better let everybody know that, you know, and let me tell you a little thing. Being a gentleman who is a little bit been out there with in the world a little bit, just a tad longer than you. And I will say this. When it comes to women and age, run for the hills. I don't ever get into that conversation at all. You're never going to hear me go there. But I will say this, and I do appreciate your comments, because you're really right. You know, 50 is not, and that's what Valerie was saying, 50 is not the end of your story. And it can be just the beginning, and not just for women, for men, for everybody, because, you know, I was reading probably several months back the story where there are a lot of great inventions that were created, businesses that were created, inventions that were created by folks in their 50s. And I have a theory for that, and my theory is that, you know, a lot of times as you begin to you know, hit the 40s, the 50s type thing, you mm-hmm. are going to experience kind of, you know, where there is perhaps you're changing careers. Quite often folks who, you know, some companies may age them out, I hate to say, you know, all kinds of things like that. So you're looking at a great deal of age discrimination. And what happens is that folks begin to develop their own entrepreneurial skill sets, and they launch new businesses, even in their 50s. And those businesses change lives. Entrepreneurs change the world. It's really that simple. Entrepreneurs change the world. Don't ever forget that. And so I love this. I absolutely love it. So I kind of steer clear of the age and the women thing. I steer clear. But yes, 50 years still valid. Like I always say, even you guys know how I close out the show. What was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. That's my life slogan, if you will, my mantra. If you could do it yesterday, you can still do it today. So 50 is not the doors closed shut. Okay. You know, the no, not at all. You said things right, and I'll tell you again, because it's very important for us to say things on the show. That's what sparks conversation. And what you said, and that's what a lot of people may think. So that's why we have to say these things on the broadcast, and I love that, and I think, you know, we applaud you for saying those things. Am I saying it right, Ms. Terry? What do you say about this morning?
Well, I just know you just have to, you kind of begin to look at things different once you get a certain age.
Mm.
Because I remember being young, and I used to see the luxury cars, the Mercedes Benz, like the big body Benz. And I used to be like, I want one of those. And I was like, why, you know, why is everyone driving so, like, they're like older? Okay, so I'm like in my 20s at this point. I'm like wondering why everybody who's driving the Mercedes Benz is older. But as I begin to age, I begin to understand that these things have to be acquired, and they come with a certain amount of, you know, money and also education and all of these things that come along in time. So I didn't understand. I love the Benz. And I was like, why is everybody so old that's driving that car? And now that I'm older, I totally understand now that it takes time to acquire these things. So definitely. And I myself, like Carrie, kind of steer clear of the age thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many, listen, there's so many categories you could be in. I mean, I see older women, like, in their 70s that are still doing their thing. And, they go out to exercise and can run circles around the average probably 40, 50-year-old. So it's kind of all in how you diet, exercise, just lifestyle. So, you know, you can sometimes you can pick, you know, the type of lifestyle that you have and that you lead, and, you know, so yeah, there's definitely different avenues you can sometimes take to take you wherever you want to go. So I definitely believe there's options out there for some people.
All right. So, Miss Terry, you said when you were younger, you used to wonder why that all the folks that you saw driving those big old Benzes and all those luxury cars were older folks. Now do you look at it and say, gee, why are all those folks driving those luxury cars so young? You see, as you start, your perception changes as you get a little older.
Yeah, I do see some, you know, younger people driving them, but then I begin to think, okay, well, he probably got that for a sweet 16 birthday.
Yeah, and I wasn't being literal, so that I was just joking with you, Miss Terry. Well, listen, speaking of joking, I do want to ask you guys, it's April 1st, and so, and I always remember this one little thing that when I was a little kid, and so bear with me, indulge me, folks. What it says is that it starts off with something like, what does April 1st, why are fools so tired on April 1st? Okay, now did you guys hear this before when you were little kids?
Mm-mm. No, I've
really?
Never heard that. Mm-mm.
Well, what about you, Harlan Will, since you are in April? Oh, well, you know what?
Uh-oh.
I know that Harlan Will, you were around in the April times, an April baby, if you will. So you've never heard this before, Harlan Will?
No, I've heard a bunch of jokes about April 1st, but...
Okay. Well, then I'm sure that we can tell on the air. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I've never heard the joke before, but I'm not going to lie. I was about to put in the Googles. Go ahead.
Okay. Miss Terry hit it on the head. Okay. Well, no, you don't have to Google it this morning. I will give you the answer. What they say on April 1st, why was the April 1st fool so tired? And it goes that he had a march of 31 days.
Yep, a dad joke.
That
is such a dad joke. Oh,
that
goodness.
Was...
I'm using it. I'm definitely going to use it. When I have my kids, I'm using it.
That
well,
was a little
I
dry,
use that
but okay.
Every April 1st, I think of that because it's just something that comes to mind. You've just had a march of 31 days. That's why you're so tired on April 1st. And I'm going to be using that all day today with everybody I talk to. I'm so tired today. Why are you so tired? Well, I just had a march of 31 days. I just love that. It just gets me every time. Well, listen, I know.
It's the dryness of the jokes. It's the dryness of a dad joke that gets you. It's like, you know it's corny, but it's so dry, it's funny.
Well, mine are dry as Lay's potato chips. Believe me. Yeah, I'm never going to win an award, a hair radio award for my jokes.
Never.
I will tell you that. You
potato chip.
I tell you. Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our broadcast number 549. It is Thursday, April 1st of 2021. Yes, there's Miss Terry out of Georgia. And also, we're joined by Harlem Will out of Brooklyn. I'm sorry, out of Harlem. Harlem, let me get it right.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Brooklyn.
We're
moving you over to our borough. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Carrie Hines. And today we're kind of like getting you guys all primed and ready for the special tomorrow. It's our broadcast number 550. It's Friday, April 2nd, tomorrow. And we will be celebrating the whole broadcast from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, it's the 550th live broadcast celebration show. And we're so happy and honored. And then following that show, we're taking a little bit of a break. So we'll have the following week from you guys. We'll be off behind the scenes. We'll be working on all new content and creating all kinds of amazing things that we want you to hear when you tune in again upon our return to the airwaves. So lots of all that wonderful good stuff. Now, a little while back, this morning, I told Harlem Will we were going to turn to you to kind of fill us in on some of the stories making the rounds these days. And then, Miss Terry, we still got Hair Talk coming up with you shortly. So, Harlem Will, we'll start with you. What stories have you Googled this morning?
Well, we have officially legalized weed here in New York City. I don't know if anybody's heard of it because, yes, it is definitely going down now. Under the law, 40% of tax revenue from cannabis will be steered to minority communities that had disproportionate numbers of marijuana arrests. So this is a good thing that Cuomo, going through all the controversy issues that he's going through, Governor Cuomo, he found time to pass a very popular legislation. And, I mean, at this point, it's just taking way too long for New York to pass it. When you're seeing other states pass it already, including California, which has seen a huge boom, you know, New York is kind of dragging its feet, but at least they finally got here. I mean, even New Jersey beat them to legalizing it. And now, at this point, it's just we're just waiting for the rest of the country, you know, the big house up in Washington, down in Washington, to just federally legalize it already. But this is big news for New York City. Now we have we can begin to actually add some tax revenue to a lot of the city's expenses and really start to see what this money can do now, the tax revenue from legalized marijuana. There's still some challenges, but that's been part of the big news so far. Let me see. I want to weigh in on that.
And Ms. Terry,
yes.
Do you have any particular comments on that before I come in with my wonderful, wonderful words this morning on that? Anything you want to add to that, Ms. Terry?
I'm just very interested to see how things are going to pan out. I think it's been a long time coming, and you know, a lot of people have been waiting for this moment, and I'm just interested to see how things are going to go.
Absolutely. Well, my comment is this: I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and our governor is Governor Cuomo, and some have said, you know, are tying it to, like you said, this is popular legislation at a time where he's kind of going through a whole thing with the media and in recent weeks, all of the reporting on the allegations. As far as the pot talk, I am bringing back, and this is really big news because it's relating to, you know, what Harlem Will is talking about. We had already launched our radio show a couple of years back called The Podcast, and it was also called Can We Talk? And it was really nice and kind of an homage to Joan Rivers. And I think it's really, really nice that this is the real discussion about the talk of pot. And I think it's really great. So here we are again with bringing back our podcast. So get ready for it. And we'll be, yes, well, it's my coining of the name. And you guys we are going to be talking about it right here. We'll get your preview. And it should be real interesting. When we did the show, we did the podcast right here on a local station here in New York. We had a local AM early morning slot on regular terrestrial radio. It was my first time returning to regular terrestrial radio in many years. So we're going to be bringing it back for some specials right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So lots of we've got a lot to kind of, you know, roll out as we kind of move along. And what else is going on, Harlem Will?
Well, we also have the George Floyd case that's still underway. Now, yesterday was one of the first. I wasn't able to get any news about it today, but I do remember from the opening trial, they brought on the firefighter who initially was one of the witnesses during the murder of George Floyd by Eric Chauvin, who had his knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes, and she explained in very deep and very clear details that she was expressing to the officer Chauvin how she could perform CPR on him. That he's choking her, and they tried to paint it and say, "Well, weren't the bystanders who were standing by? They prevented him from lifting his knee, and wouldn't that happen to you?" And she just clearly destroyed it by saying, "Absolutely not. As a firefighter, I would not let anybody stop me from going to a fire, to a fire, putting it out." So you already, as much as the nonsense that people, the collective community, people looking at the case already have gathered about what the case should be, what should happen, this is just going to pour more gas on the fire, you know, as to how outrageous the defense is going to be towards trying to defend the officers. So this is something, get ready, because I think we should, the public should get ready, because we're going to hear a lot of defense positions like this coming forward in the future. Anybody want to chime in about what they thought about that with the defense trying to put the firefighter who wanted to perform CPR on George Floyd, how they tried to paint her in a bad light and say, hey, wouldn't you be distracted if people was telling you to, you know, yelling at you to not do your job? How do we feel about about that?
The way that I look at it, and the whole thing with the defense, first of all, I want to make sure that folks, again, hear this. We know this, we being the on-air team at Air Radio, but I want to make sure that you guys, the listeners, and I know that we have sharp-eared listeners who are fans of the Air Radio Morning Show. And the thing is, in some reporting, it's almost as if George Floyd is on trial. And that's how I feel. Now, again, this is our, you know, belief system here, and we want to make sure that we represent what we think, not necessarily putting it out there in terms of what you need to think. But, you know, George Floyd he is the victim here. So we want to make sure that that is always clear. Because what tends to happen, and it's not just in this case, but in quite a few of these types of cases where it's obvious, they seem to reach for the first, I mean, it's kind of like a supermarket of defense explanations, you know, that they reach for. The first thing on the shelf is to try to blame the victim, try to muddy his name. And if that doesn't work, then they reach for the other things. And I remember even when they put out these videos, when they're reluctant to put the video out, somehow the video is leaked or it gets out where it shows the horrific crime against black folks. And then I always love the defense by quite a few of these authorities who are trying to keep the video from being public. And they always say the first thing they reach for on that shelf, I call it the supermarket of excuses. And so the first shelf is wait until all the facts come out. The second thing that they reach for is, well, there's some things that you didn't see before what you saw. the third thing they reach for is, well, you can't really believe what you see because it's not what it appears. And then the fourth thing they reach for is there's an invest. Yeah, this is, I mean, it's so transparent to anybody of color. We see the same things over and over and over. And we don't, because we don't own, there's such a disparity in the, you know, we don't have control of our own, you know, communication, so to speak. We don't have a way that we can really connect on that level because the mass media, again, is not owned by people of color for the most part. So that's why we don't have us, you know, our voices are not kind of heard or we're marginalized. And so that's why I've always said how you deal with racism is to kind of, you know, equalize the economic, you know, the economic situation in the country. That'll diminish
racism to quite a bit. They're just painting them as a criminal, though. Like you said, this is a classic trope that, you know, they that the law, the justice system has always rolled out there. Whenever it's a black victim, they try to blame the victim. From Sandra Bland to Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, they've always found a way to blame the victim.
Well,
and it's and you can't help but notice it's always a black person when they always say, well, they're responsible for their own death.
Well, right. Well, let me just say this. You're absolutely right in this case. But it's also, that's just a technique and a tactic, and I hate to tell you, but it's not even just exclusive to black men, because usually what also happens for, you know, God forbid, but, you know, women who've been abused in the system or, you know, through things, this is also the first that they, I mean, this is just a technique that's out there in the legal world that they do, and it's so obvious is to blame the, you know, how can you look at a video and see that the man is walking around just fine, and then you have your knee, you're watching him literally take his last breath, and you have the audacity to say that that didn't kill him, that he had already had underlying issues, if you will, or drugs or this or that. I mean, clearly, you'd have, how on earth that someone can insult your intelligence and make you question what you are literally seeing with your own eyes. It's, that just, to me, shouts evil to the 10th degree. And that's how I personally feel. And it's just, you know, I'm happy that the family got some money to help ease the realities, you know, the reality that they must now live in. And this is just representative and demonstrative of what black families have dealt with for forever. And I can certainly tell you, I've lived through violence and all this kind of stuff. And it's just awful. It's awful. We've got to, you know, we've got to change things. Like you said, a game changer. We got to wait for the game to change, or we have to try to change the game. Something's got to happen because this is not the right way. And again, my belief, and I said this yesterday, Will, I think it's on the lack of accountability. To me, that's what seems to spark the lack of accountability, the economic disparity. Those are what is driving the racial unrest and all the things that are the civil unrest and the racial issues in the country. Those are things that are driving it, and we've got to face things in this country and not just put our heads under a blanket, you know, and go back to sleep because it seems so overwhelming. But that's my take on it. I'm sorry, I go on and on because this is that's a big topic. It is. That's a big, big topic.
I have one more topic that lends into the business world. I have one more topic that goes into the business world as well. This comes from Business Insider, that Tim Cook condemns Georgia new election law and joins other CEOs. Now, this is written in Business Insider. Apple CEO Tim Cook has slammed Georgia's controversial new election law, joining the ranks of other CEOs who have done the same. These are words by Tim Cook, quote, "Apple believes that, thanks in part to the power of technology, it ought to be easier than ever for every eligible citizen to exercise their right to vote," end quote. Cook told Axios in a statement published Thursday, quote, "We support efforts to ensure that our democracy's future is more helpful and inclusive than its past," end quote. Civil rights group and Democratic officials have slammed the law as suppressing voters, particularly black voters, and have called on businesses who do business in the state to do the same. This is a developing story, and more will follow. So what is your take to the panel and my host, Carrie, what do we think about this story right here with CEOs like Tim Cook and others coming out slamming the new Jim Crow laws being passed by Brian Kemp?
Well, it's our feeling that they're Jim Crow laws, but this is the Republican-run government that's there in the state of Georgia. Now, my take is
this. Give water to voters.
Right. No, I got it. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a hot-button story, and for me, it just reeks of, just trying to suppress the black vote. And to everybody, pretty much. I mean, we have to call it what it is. The folks who are down there in Georgia, to me it seems that, and this is your home state, Ms. Terry, well, your state where you are down there in Georgia. But the thing is, they seem, and by they, I mean the legislatures, the legislators there in Georgia have decided that Stacey, I'm going to just go ahead and say that they're trying to keep Stacey Abrams from becoming the governor. That's the way it seems. It just seems like a wide attack to try to keep Stacey Abrams from becoming governor and watching the political landscape there in Georgia change. And so by being able, because they saw with, they had been, it's the first time in many years that they were able to have a Democratic leadership kind of, stand out in Georgia. So they would never win again unless they kind of, and again, these are the Republican legislators down there, unless they change the laws. So they kind of have, and I'm sorry to say this, but this is, again, Kerry Hines' viewpoint. They have to somewhat, people feel cheat in order to win. And they cannot win without that. And the issue here is that it's not constitutional. So how on earth are you able to have a law in some states or a state that seems to be at odds with our own constitution? And so, when it's clear the lunacy of it, when you tell folks that if somebody is in line, that you're going to make it illegal to provide someone who could be dying of thirst, literally, that you can't even give them a bottle of water. That just tells you, well, what happens is the reason that they tie it to something like this is that it's just, to me, the way that you are able to see how, what kind of people would create these kinds of laws. I mean, how inhumane, and that anybody would even open up their mouth to say something so stupid. So America has to look. It's America is really struggling because it's been run by folks. I mean, and I'm not going to say, I don't know, and I totally could be wrong here, but I'm not going to say that perhaps if other nationalities, if there was a different nationality that was the so-called majority that was in charge here in this country, that because I believe absolute power corrupts. That's my belief. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you have folks who have benefited for hundreds of years, they are, that's just, you're going to have this kind, it's going to come to this point where it's corruption on a stick. And they're just used to having it there, and no matter how silly and stupid, and it is, it sounds absolutely crazy.
Goodness. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's okay. It sounds absolutely crazy that these things are put into the books. And so you have, you know, what you're saying, Harlan Will, about the boycotting and this and that, I love it. I love that the, you know, that folks in the business community is saying, you got to be kidding. Many of the people, and the way that, you know, for you listeners out there who may not be as on top of these things, you know, until you kind of tune in and you listen on the Hair Radio Show, which is great. But one of the things that these businesses realize is that many of their consumers, their customers, are folks that this law directly will affect. So if they are not happy, if they are not able to have that and continue to have a voice and have their own votes, and so that a particular segment in the community, I mean, in the population, can remain in control, because that's what this is all about. So these companies are saying, listen, we want our customers to be able to vote like everybody else. So if you don't allow that to happen, a lot of these states will lose a lot of monies because companies will pull up and move in a heartbeat. I've seen it. They will pull out and move and change their locations.
So just
to
a
state
on that,
where it's, yes, go right ahead. From the Georgia herself, the Georgian, the only one that's on our panel today from Georgia. So Ms. Terry, how do you weigh in, and what has the feeling been like down there on this? What has the feeling been like?
Just to touch on what you were saying, Kira, about the boycott, the people were trying to figure out a way that they could get some of these larger companies, you know, in on the on things to speak up. So the people started calling for a boycott of Delta Airlines and also Coca-Cola. And these are some of the biggest companies we have here in Georgia. I almost would like to say I haven't seen a Pepsi since I've been in Georgia, but that just kind of gives you an idea of how big Coca-Cola is in Atlanta. You can find Pepsi, but most of the time we see Coke. So the people kind of jumped in and said, hey, we're going to boycott Delta and we're going to boycott Pepsi. That's when the bigger companies begin to step up and say, hey, we can't allow you to do this to the people. So,
well, I cannot say for these companies exactly that that's the case. Let me just say this, because one of our sponsors here is Delta Airlines, and I have always found them to be incredibly reputable and have not seen any of this kind of thing. And not only that, but I read the statements from the Delta folks as well. And this is not something that is in line with the way that they operate. And Delta is based down there in Atlanta. So they are, the reason that Delta's even coming into play is because they're based there in Atlanta. But let me just say this. Delta is a staunch supporter of the community. And they wouldn't be supporting any of my events if they weren't. And
right.
We would not have them as our supporters. So I don't call for any kind of boycott of Delta. I call for the exact opposite. You need to fly Delta more often. And I'm a believer and a staunch supporter. I've flown down to Atlanta a zillion times. And so, and this is something, and I always take Delta Airlines. So we've got some ways to go on this, but as far as the businesses and, you know, let them come, I don't think it's good to do cancel culture per se like that. I think to try to force them, if anything, You know, I get why they're doing it, but I don't know if I would go about it exactly that way. I think there's some other ways to have a greater impact as well. Yes.
I just wanted to say that Stacey Abrams also came out and asked that people don't do that. Don't boycott the companies because people needed their jobs. So she did come out. And she came out and asked that people don't boycott the companies because people need their jobs. So Stacey Abrams did step up and ask people not to do that.
Well, I mean, I totally understand why people think that they've got to go that route. But to me, it's you're biting off your nose to spite your face or whatever.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and most of these companies are already struggling, you know, as everybody else is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's really the lawmakers that you need to be stepping up and voting them out. That's what you need to be doing. And so rid America of this crap. Once you have more people who are more representative of what America looks like, instead of this crazy, these extremists who are just plumb crazy conspiracy theory folks who are just spreading fear and crazy stories, trying to undermine democracy and run us into the ground. You know, for what, who knows what purpose, just defies common sense and flies in the face of humanity. We just, we can do better. And so on that note,
I just wanted to push back against this. I understand what Stacey Abrams is coming from as far as hurting, don't boycott because people have to work. I get that. I get where you're coming from. However, these lawmakers, like Brian Kemp, they're not listening to us. They listen to big business. That's the worst-kept secret in America. They listen to big business, the big business spenders. The CEOs get more access to these lawmakers than the average citizen who goes out there and votes and canvasses and phone banks and so on and so forth. They don't get access to these legislators the way a CEO will get access, the way a CEO will get subsidies for his corporation, not business, corporation. So if Brian Kemp, the governor, is not listening to citizens, hell, he even had a representative arrested for knocking on the door because he didn't make it transparent what he was signing. Well, what makes us think, if the average voter is going to look at that and go, oh, you're not even going to let me see this, who's your sponsors? Who are the people that are giving you money? And this is not to say that they're giving them money, but they're going to say, all right, you're going to hurt me, you're not listening to me, but I bet you'll listen to this millionaire company, the millionaire CEO of this million-dollar, billion-dollar company, so we're going to boycott them, and we'll let them go out there and talk to you to say, hey, people don't like this bill, and now they're hurting our business. So your legislation moves is hurting our business because they said, since we can't talk to you, we're going to deal with the businesses. And this isn't small businesses. They're talking about the big businesses that get better access, more access to the legislators than them. So it's nuance. There's a level of context to the strategy that people with activists in Georgia have to take that I'm not necessarily against. This isn't demonizing the company. This is saying they're not even listening to us, so maybe we have to do this to you in order for them to listen to us. And I'm glad that CEOs like Tim Cook are stepping up and voicing their dismay with the law that Brian Kemp passed. So now maybe he's going to listen because now their pockets have been threatened.
Well, but it's not that if you're talking about the political folks listening, then that would be great. But, you know, again, I don't see that necessarily as the way to go. I think that they have better options. There are times that we absolutely need to boycott a lot of these corporations. I'm leading the charge normally on things like that. But in this case, I'm looking, and especially where you name, you know, these companies, and particularly companies that Hair Radio knows personally. Now, I can't say for those other companies out there that you mentioned, but I can speak for Delta Airlines, and they are superb.
All the other companies have issued statements. Coca-Cola has issued a statement.
Right. And I don't even want to go into naming those companies so much because, you know. Yeah, and I appreciate that, and we love them all, and we support them with whatever. You know, we're going to follow this because I think that, as you said, I'm going to call you Fireman because we have Fireman Will on earlier, Harlem Will. Will led off the show this morning, and we had the Fireman Will who was on. He's also he's in our area as well, I mean, New York Fireman, and if you guys missed it, you could play the show back. He was the lead-off interview this morning on the broadcast. But, yeah, I kind of like this. We're going to be following this. This is not something that's going to be solved in one day. This is something where we have to be vigilant about, and we have to keep talking about these issues because a lot of these laws are sneaked onto the book, so to speak. We have to suffer the repercussions. Again, my other favorite because again, yeah, let me just say this. This is an important point. The whole idea of this legislator down in the Republican legislator down in Georgia did this is supposedly because of the widespread voter fraud from the election, which there was none. So this is why it was all predicated.
No, actually was the cases that they did find came from Republicans Republican voters.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. I totally agree. And you know what? And that is the thing. This is where it, you know, it's just, and this is something, this is not a secret what we're talking about. It's been all over the news, and everybody is aware, if you wish to be. And so we just got to really stay on top of it. We're going to follow it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to continue to take a look at this. Now, I wanted to kind of take a moment to give us a nice music break. When we come back following this music break, this is a moment for you to get up, go run, get your coffee, tea, go take a quick restroom break. When we come back, it's Hair Talk with our own new Miss Terry will be joining us to talk about it. So, Miss Terry, are you getting ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready.
All right. Okay, well, we like that. All right. Well, so, folks, stay with us. This is, I have to say, we kind of talked a little bit about this earlier, Throwback Thursday. So, of course, I'm going to dig in my... I play Throwback Thursday music every day of the week anyway. But anyway, so Thursdays is my day to, you know, let my Throwback Thursday flag fly, if you will. So here we go. This is I Love Music. It's the OJs. I interviewed one of the members of the OJs right here on our Hair Radio show. So this is one of their classic hit records. It goes about 6 minutes or so. After that, we're going to talk hair. Stay with us. There's more to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Here are the OJs.
I have to get a little bit more music.
Well,
we're going to be kicking off with a lot of music in this hour.
I got to say, I always think that's the OJs, but it is not the OJs. Let me try to kind of flip it a little bit here. This morning we had on one of my we were trying to get on one of my super, super, duper favorites. He's from the East Orange area. This is his group. Now, Will, you're going to have to Google who these folks are. But David Pick Conley and the group is called Surface. He had a big hit that later inspired Pharrell, the producer and singer, performer, I should say. But this is the original called Happy by Surface. Stay with us.
Only you can make me happy.
doing, baby? You know, I was just thinking about you. You know, I'm glad you called. But you coming right over? Beautiful, baby. I'll be waiting. I love you too.
You're all I need in my life.
I don't need no one. I don't need no one but you.
You're all I need in my life.
I don't need no one.
I don't need no one but you.
The history of black hair, our hair story. The history behind all elaborate designs and hairstyles originated in different ethnic groups in Africa. The first known example of dreadlocks date back to ancient Egypt, where dreadlocks appeared on many artifacts. Ancient Egyptians with dreadlocks have also been recovered from archaeological sites. Socially, hair grooming played a significant part in status and identity in African tribes. It was a way to identify someone's social status based on ethnicity, social rank, age, marital status, wealth, fertility, manhood, religion, and death. Twisting, braiding, cotton or wool thread weaving, adding animal fat or mud and clay were all techniques used to create these elaborate looks. Due to styling taking hours and sometimes days, much like today, women use this time of beautifying as a chance to socialize and form meaningful bonds with one another. In 1444, Europeans began to kidnap Africans of all social statuses and trade them on the west coast of Africa. Many wore elaborate hairstyles. Although the Europeans were first entranced with and admired the complexity of style, texture, and adornment of black hair, something had to be done to rid them of their identity to maintain control and dependency. Many slave owners shaved not only the men's hair but women's hair as well. This was considered an unspeakable crime to many tribes. In 1619, the first slaves were brought to Jamestown. After being on a ship for 3 months in unbearable conditions where hygiene, let alone hair care maintenance, couldn't be maintained, many of the enslaved Africans' hair was matted upon arrival. The enslaved Africans were no longer allowed to speak their native languages, do traditional dances, and maintain their hair in the styles that they chose. All of the African culture and grooming traditions began to disappear. Slave owners wanted to cut off the enslaved Africans' connection to their true self. They pushed their standard of beauty, fair skin, straight hair, and thin facial features. African dark skin, kinky hair, and wider facial features were deemed unattractive. Because of this, lighter skin, straight hair slaves commanded higher prices at auction. Due to brainwashing and internalizing color consciousness, many blacks promoted the idea that dark skin and kinky hair were less attractive and worthless. The enslaved Africans were given no way to care for their hair. In the 1800s, without combs and the herbal treatments used in Africa, they were forced to use bacon grease, butter, kerosene, and sheep brushes to maintain their hair. In 1845, metal hot combs are invented by the French and available to the United States. Many people believe Madame C.J. Walker invented the hot comb, which is incorrect. She developed a range of hair care products for blacks and popularized the press and curl style. In 1865, slavery ended, but the emotional and psychological scars lived on and are still evident today. Quote-unquote good hair, or hair that is finer, curlier, and closer to that of Europeans, becomes a prerequisite for getting jobs, entering certain schools, churches, and social groups. Thank you. the 1920s, Marcus Garvey, a black nationalist, urges followers to embrace their natural hair and reclaim their African aesthetic. He is quoted as saying, "You must remove the kinks from your mind, not your hair." In 1954, George E. Johnson launches a permanent hair straightener for men that can be applied at home. A women's chemical straightener quickly follows. In 1962, actress Cicely Tyson wears cornrows on the TV drama East Side, West Side. This was a big deal because braids weren't considered a finished look for an adult woman. Usually this style was only worn inside the home. Angela Davis became an icon of black power with her large afro. The afro became a symbol for black power and pride. Kinky hair and dark skin is embraced, and the phrase "black is beautiful" is coined. In 1968, Diane Carroll is the first black woman to star in a television network series. She is said to be the black version of the All-American Girl with straightened curled hair. In 1971, Melba Tolliver is fired from the ABC affiliate in New York for wearing her hair in an afro. This caused a great deal of controversy. In 1977, the Jerry curl exploded on the black hair scene. It was deemed a curly perm for blacks, and the style lasted through the 1980s. In the 1990s, Essence magazine declares sisters love the weave, but natural styles and locks are starting to become more accepted as well. In the 2000s, relaxers, braids, and natural styles are explored by African Americans. Around 2009, there is a surge in the number of women wearing their hair naturally. Many refer to this as the natural hair movement. In 2006, black hair care is a billion-dollar industry. Black women consume 80% of the hair industry, but only own 3%. Keratin and Brazilian treatments are marketed to smooth and straighten natural hair without damaging the hair. Naturals soon to find this to be false. Today, black women are wearing their hair in a variety of styles, both relaxed and natural. The number of women wearing their hair naturally has increased significantly due to the education on the harshness of chemicals used in relaxers, scalp conditions, a desire to lead a healthier and more active lifestyle, and a desire for naturally longer and thicker hair. Many believe to truly embrace, understand, and appreciate our hair, especially in its natural state and how it directly relates to our culture, we must understand its history and be willing to maintain a certain level of integrity and respect regarding it. I wasn't able to list everything, unfortunately. The video would have been way too long, but I encourage you to continue to research about this subject. Thanks so much for watching. I'll see y'all next time. Peace, love, and light.
Likewise. We are back live. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning. It's April 1st of 2021. It's our show number 549. And you guys were just listening to the CNBC special that aired with one of our guests. You guys know him from out in California. Sam, what can I say about Sam, who just runs his wonderful empire out there on the West Coast? First, let me just bring back to the line Miss Terry, then we'll get into a little bit more of this hair talk. I think we have a few minutes, and then we're going to devote some of our upcoming shows. Miss Terry, are you still with us? Miss Terry,
yes.
From Georgia. Miss Terry, what? Let me ask you, when it comes to some of the, let's first describe, what part of the hair spectrum would you describe yourself being on? Like, what type of hair services do you provide down to the Georgians?
You know, right now, the hair spectrum I'm in is the natural hair spectrum, but I've done some of everything over the span of my career, so I've been in touch with a little bit of everything. Right now, you would probably consider me as a natural hair specialist.
Okay. All right. And what, for the folks who are just joining us, and this is the first time they've ever turned on the hair radio show, they cannot differentiate between figure out where, what's the difference between being a natural specialist and being someone who focuses on cosmetology, we'll say. Is there any way you could kind of clarify that for our listeners?
Well, I'll say I've been doing natural hair and natural hair only for about 15 years. So
wow.
I haven't done relaxers and weaves and things like that. Not behind the chair, what I was renting or wherever I was working, maybe a little bit on the side, but predominantly natural hair, silk press, different textured styles, flat twist, just natural twist out and things like of that nature. That's my main focus.
Well,
right,
I have to say, first of all, we're loving it. And we're going to be talking to you right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with, this is the first time we are going to make this announcement on the show, but I am looking forward to having you talk about natural hair right here on our broadcast on a regular basis. So you've been upgraded, Miss Terry. You're being upgraded right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to leave that. Is that not wonderful? So we're going to park it right here. And as we move along on these shows, like even on tomorrow's show, and we're going to set up a regular spot for you right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show to talk all about it. We have a big natural hair following, a big natural hair community, and we just love them. And we want to be able to provide the kind of hair talk that they tune into the show to hear. So on that note, yes, thank you. Great job, Miss Terry. You are just doing a smash bang-em-up job these days. We're real happy. Listen, I want to thank Harlan Will for being part of this broadcast. I want to thank Miss Terry, all the fans of our program, all of our listeners worldwide. We're shouting out everybody from all the different parts on the continent of Africa who tune into our broadcast. Thank you. The folks in the UK, Italy, India, Ireland even, we have folks who tune into our broadcast, all of our listeners all across America, Canada. We just love all the folks who take a moment to acknowledge us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Big show coming up tomorrow is show number 550. Don't forget to tune in from 6 to 9 o'clock in the morning for, again, a very special broadcast. Great memories are being made tomorrow's broadcast. You do not want to miss it. It's time to go ahead and get our outro going on this broadcast, and we'll see you back here tomorrow again for the special broadcast. Make it an awesome Thursday. We just did. It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close, but it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests.
Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686.
Hey, Al.
86.
You know.
Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur,